Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Okay, we finished the Mishnah. 13a3, yeah, we finished the Mishnah. Okay, like 10 lines in the end of the page. Okay, the Mishnah said like this. People saw a woman speaking with somebody, and they said to her, well, who's this guy? She said, no, he's the kosher guy. So Gamliel and Rabbi have to say, we believe her. Rabbi Shua says, no, we don't believe him. Then the Mishnah continues, second case. A woman was pregnant, and they asked her, who are you pregnant from? And she said, a kosher guy. So again, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel said, we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't believe her. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. But the Gemara's expression was, medaberes. If they saw her speaking with somebody. So Gemara says, my medaberes. What do you mean speaking? What's wrong with speaking to a woman? I mean, what does it mean? It says, Ziiri says, what it means is nistera. She was secluded with the man. And the witnesses that they were secluded. Ravasi Omar Nivala. No, it actually means they're witness medaberes, and the Gemara is going to explain it's like a nice expression. But the Gemara means she actually lived with somebody. And then they ask her, who's this guy that you lived with? Because Tami, a lady saw somebody, doesn't mean talking to somebody, doesn't mean she lived with him. So the Ziiri says it means she was left alone in a room with him. So even though there's no adibia, there's no adim that they actually had relations, but the fact that there were witnesses, some going to a room alone, that itself is enough. Or Ravasi says, actually nivala. So Gemara says, bishleim leziri, according to Ziri, understand, because it says, it makes sense, hainu dukani midaberes. That's why the Mishnah says midaberes, speaking. Because speaking means whispering to him in private, and therefore means secluded. Ella the Ravasi, but according to Ravasi means that actually live together. My medaberes, what's the expression of medaberes? So Gemara answers Lishna Ma'al Yiksiv. The Torah just medaberes means living. The Gemara is just using a nice expression, a nicer expression, because it says in the pasuk, Ochlo Mochsapia, such is the way of an adulterous woman, that what Ochlo she eats, or Mochsapia she wipes her mouth. And says, like, Paltiav, I didn't do anything wrong. The Gemara speaks about, so you see the Torah uses the word speech about Znus. And therefore the Gemara says, he uses a nice expression, that the Mishnah uses the word Medaberes, but what the Mishnah really means is that they actually were living together. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Now again, in the Mishnah there were two cases. One is they saw him speaking to somebody, and one is they saw her pregnant from somebody. So Gemara said, Vishleim is Ziiri, according to Ziiri that says, it means she was secluded, not lived with him. She was secluded with him. That's why you have two cases. Medaberes means secluded. And Mubaris means pregnant. Right? One is secluded, one is pregnant. Ela Ravasi, but according to Ravasi, Tarti Lomali, if Medaberes means she lived with the guy, right? So why does it have to say one case of pregnant? In one case of her living with a guy, it's the same din, whether she's kosher or not. Right? So Gemara says, no. One is dealing about her, one is dealing about the daughter. You understand? So Gemara answers, the first case, is she a kosher woman? In other words, can she marry a kohen? Because what if the woman, like we learned, if a woman lived with a guy she wouldn't be allowed to marry, she becomes forbidden for a kohen. So now the question is like this. They see a woman secluded with somebody, and they say, what's this? Or according to Ravasi, living with somebody. They have witnesses that they're living together. And then he says, what is this? So it's a kosher Jew. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel say, she can marry a kohen. Because we believe her. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, it says, no, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's the first case. And the second case is, that if she's pregnant, now the question is about the child. Is the child kosher l'kohen or not? That's the question. So the Gemara says like this. Hey, nicha l'man d'yoma, that's only good according to the one that says, mach sheba bita. That if it's she's kosher, then the kid's kosher. El l'man d'yoma, there's an opinion in the Gemara that says, mach ba, that even the one that says she's kosher, pesel babita, the daughter is still unfit. Okay? So Mela, so the question is on the daughter, right? So then why do you need two cases?
So Gemara says, Ravasi, who says that they actually live together, holds like the opinion that says, Hamach Sheba, Mach Shebebita. If she's kosher, the daughter's kosher. That's why you have two cases. One speaking about her, that she's kosher, and one speaks about the kid that it's kosher. Right? This opinion that says, even though she's kosher, the baby, the child is not, cannot go according to Ravasi. Because Ravasi says, if she's kosher, the kid's kosher. Therefore, one case speaks about the woman living with somebody, and they ask, we don't know who it is, and they ask her, who are you living with? She's like a kosher Jew. So then she can marry a Kohen. The second part, when she's pregnant, we're dealing about the kid. So, then we believe her also. There's both things.
One of them says Nisan, or one of them says Nivana?
Yeah. Now, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Medaberes? Does it mean secluded? Or does it mean, the Gemara is going to discuss now more of the details. Because the question is secluded enough of a proof that she lived with the guy? According to Ze'idi, obviously it is. Because she didn't live with the guy, didn't have cohabit with him, then why should she be treif? She's still cohabit, she didn't live with the guy.
So according to both of them, the second case is for the
baby. Child.
The child,
yeah. That, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Rav Papa asked Abaye a question. The Ze'idi, according to Ze'idi, it says, Medaberes means nister, or not stam living, but stam talking to the guy. Right. But Amar Rabbi Yeshua says in that case, Loi mehemne, that she's not believed. Meaning, according to Ze'idi, the Mishnah means that if this woman secluded with somebody, only Yichud, we don't have proof that she actually lived with the guy, that she had the intimacy with the guy. So the Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed. Right? Rabbi Yeshua says they say she's not believed. So the Gemara says, but how could that be? Ha'amar, Rav Rav said, Malkin ale yichud, you give lashes for seclusion, vein eisen ale yichud, but you don't forbid a woman to her husband. Meaning like this. If a married woman commits adultery, she's forbidden for her husband. Right? Willingly committed adultery. That's it. She's done with the husband. He can't stay married to her. She can't marry the guy she was with, and she can't stay married to the husband. Right? That's the din. Now, what happens if there's no proof that she was living with the guy, but there's proof that she was secluded with the guy? There's proof that she was secluded with the guy. Yeah? So, does she become forbidden to the husband or not?
No.
No, one second.
I hope not.
1 second. So Rav holds, you whip her for it, but you're not going to forbid her to her husband. Right? Now, the problem is, our Mishnah, according to Ze'idi, means if they saw a woman speaking with somebody, Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed to say it's a kosher guy, Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed to say it's a kosher guy, right? You'd give him a lamed aleph. Now, according to Ze'idi, that doesn't mean the witnesses that they actually were together. Stam, they were secluded, yeah? And Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. That means, what are we saying? That she lived with somebody, that she takin lived with somebody, right? So, according to that, Rav, how could he say she's not forbidden to her husband from Yichud? According to Rabbi Yeshua, it should be forbidden. Because Rabbi Yeshua says if a woman secluded with a guy, we assume that she lived with the guy. And he's not a kosher guy. So Gemara says, Lema the Lok Rabbi Yeshua, so Rav's ruling cannot be according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, if a woman was alone with a guy, she should be forbidden to her husband. And Rav says, you whip her, but she's not forbidden for the husband. So Mara says, no. I feel the tame of Rabbi Yeshua. The Allah is really like Rabbi Yeshua. But, Maila also be yuchsin. When it came to a Kohen, they were stricter. In other words, like this. Even though, by normal husband and wife, a woman who was secluded could stay married to the husband, like Rav said, But here we're talking about, can she marry a Kohen? For a Kohen, we're stricter. Which is a very difficult thing to understand, because Tesis asked the question, 1 minute. Eishes Ish is worse than marrying a Kohen. What's worse? Committing adultery? Or a good woman that's not allowed to marry a Kohen marries him? Adultery is much worse.
But there's no adultery in this case.
No. Rav said that if a woman secluded with a guy, you whip her, a married one, but you don't forbid her to stay married to the husband.
But to a Kohen you do.
Yeah.
You forbid her.
Which means marrying a Kohen is stricter than the concept of adultery. Because if she committed adultery, she's not allowed to stay married to the husband.
Right.
Right? And if she committed, lived with a guy, she wouldn't be allowed to. She cannot marry a Kohen either. In other words, by the way, a married woman who committed adultery can never marry a Kohen.
Okay.
Let's say a married
not
woman.
Surprising.
No, let's say a married woman fooled around with somebody and then the husband died. So now she's a widow.
She
cannot marry a Kohen. Why? Because she lived with a guy that was not allowed to live with her because she was an Eishes Ish.
So
that
why
time.
Is it surprising?
It's a Kohen. No, it's just a Zayinim. But the Tesis is asking though, but Lacheda, Eishes Ish is pretty bad.
I have a question.
What?
So this woman lives in do people know about it? She could be living in.
Yeah.
She could be living in Boston, right? Non religious. Then she becomes religious.
That's the marathon bomber.
What?
The marathon bomber.
What about it?
No.
Well, Chicago. Let's say Chicago.
There's Chabad wherever you go. You cannot run away from
okay,
your God.
Whatever. Let's just say that. No one knows who this woman is, right?
No.
So she moves to L.A., marries a Kohen, but no one knows what she did at Phoenix. Phoenix,
okay.
Okay?
No.
No one knows what she did in Phoenix.
Chabad in Phoenix, too.
Well, okay, so what? No, nobody knows what she did in Phoenix.
No.
So she marries a Kohen.
No, she marries.
Okay.
So?
But no one knows if she lived with a guy or not in Phoenix or Las Vegas or wherever. Palm Springs. I know it's come out all over us. I know that.
If the rabbi married her, then he probably checked into it, make sure it was kosher.
If they didn't check and for whatever reason they're married, they could stay married or that they can ride.
If a woman lived with a guy, right, she cannot marry a Kohen.
Right.
What happens is she didn't say a word.
Right.
She married a Kohen.
Yeah.
And then she says, guess what? I lived with a guy.
Right. Stay married.
So the thing is we don't believe her.
You don't believe her?
Nope.
I thought she's allowed to stay married, that's it.
Why?
Even if you believe her.
No. No. If you believe her, then she's also to marry to stay married to the Kohen.
Oh, I see. I thought it was
by the way, if a woman comes, it's also weird then. If a woman comes home, tells her husband, guess what? I just had an affair with somebody.
Maybe she just wants to get a divorce.
The husband has a right to say, I don't believe you. She said what she said. So the Gemara says it could be, like you said, maybe she wants to marry somebody else.
Right.
So she thinks this is a legal loophole, how to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if
because don't forget, she's not believed to say she did an Aveda.
So she's never believed.
No, but if the husband believes her, it's a problem.
Then he has to divorce.
Or he heard it from somebody else. Yeah.
What happens if he believes her, but as revenge, he doesn't give her a get? He can't
stay married to her.
But let's say he separates from her, doesn't give her a get.
No, that's...
Well, he has to give the good
thumb. He has to give the good.
There's a thing. There's a rabbi who just got convicted, who's going to jail because he tried to beat some guy up and because his wife wouldn't get...
The only question why more rabbis don't go to jail. All the rabbis should go to jail. All rabbis are no good. All the rabbis in the world... All the rabbis in the world should go to jail.
Because...
Even the rabbis believe it.
Because...
The rabbis know the truth. Okay, Macy, come on, ask your question.
I respect the rabbi
who says, it says in the Brisa the following. What happens if they saw her, it's all the way at the bottom of the page, we're about to turn the page. People saw her enter with a man into a secluded place. In other words, there's witnesses that they went alone into a home, but no, they don't know that something actually happened. Or l'churva, or to a room. Now, in the olden times, there was called a churva. Dilapidated ruins that nobody lived in,
That was the home of the prostitutes. And then anybody wanted to commit adultery, that was where they went. Yeah? So what happens if two witnesses see a man and a woman go into a churva or into a secluded area, and they said, Mativa shel izeh, who's this guy that you were secluded with? Again, they don't have proof that they were together. They have proof that they were secluded in a room together. And she answers, Kayin, who either is a Kayin, or the son of my father's brother, yeah? Meaning, a cousin. The son of my father's brother is a cousin. Means a kosher person. So again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer Eimer Namene, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Eimer Leimi Pio Anachayim, we don't trust her. Same case like in the Mishnah. Okay, she's like established as if she lived with a mamzer or whatever. Until she can prove that the guy she went in was a kosher guy. Okay, that's what the Braisa says. So the Gemara says like this. Because Ze'idi says like this in the Mishnah. What does medaberes mean? Secluded. So he says, now I understand. The Mishnah says two cases. The Mishnah says, the Tony Tartil Seisar, or Luchurva. Why teaches two cases? Either secluded place or into a ruin. Because a ruin is more of an established chazakah that they were together. Because why in the world would somebody go into a dilapidated house which is about to fall up, you know, on your head? So the only reason they do it because it's a good place to sin. So now it's a, because what did the Mishnah say? They either, this Bryce that they just quoted, they either saw her secluded with the guy, or going to a churva. So according to Zid, it makes sense. One was for seclusion, one was for actual committing the crime. But, Ella, l'ravasi dama nivala, but if speaking means nivala, tarti lamala, why do I need two cases? Secluded place means a ruin. Right? So why do you need the exact two cases? So Gemara says, no. It means one case. What the Mishnah says, they saw a seclude in a churva. And I was like, this we thought it was either secluded or into a ruin. R-U-I-N. So he says, no, that's not what it means. They were secluded in a churva. But not they were secluded or in a churva. But the Gemara says, Halaseser or Lechurva Ketani, but the Braisa clearly says, either secluded or a Churva. So obviously it's two different cases. How can you say it's the same case? So Gemara says like this, Chava Lechurva Damasa, a ruin in the city, and one is a ruin in the field. Okay? Because like this, in a city, it's still more populated than in the field.
What?
A churva. Even a ruin. Right. Yeah, it's still, people are in the city.
What is a ruin again?
A dilapidated place that nobody lives in.
And a churva is just a...
That's what a churva is.
Like
ruin.
Oh, it's the same thing.
One's Hebrew, one's English. Churva is Hebrew.
Oh, I see.
Churva means chorev, it's destroyed.
And
it's a ruin. But what would it, in fact, in the olden days, that's where the Shadim held, hid out.
Oh, yeah.
They held out, yeah, they held out in the,
over there.
Yeah.
In the sin room.
That's where the Shadim were.
They were secluded with the Shadim.
Secluded with the Shadim.
The sin room.
So Gemara says there was a city one and there was a churva one. So secluded means the city one and the real churva means the field one. Why? Because it's understood that a city is less of a problem. There's still people hanging around outside, inside. You know, people are there much more than it dilapidated in the field. Nobody's there.
Churva is what language? Churva.
Hebrew.
It's interesting. Is that no. They call these loose women also, there's another word that sounds like that. If you know what I'm saying. I don't know if that's Hebrew, though.
No.
I think it's a different language.
It's Yiddish.
Kur, it starts with a kur. Sounds like
churva. No, churva is comes with chorev, destroyed.
Right, but for women who are loose, they also have a word.
Yeah, but similar word, yeah.
Very similar. Yeah.
Farsi, so they say,
what are they connected?
Charabeh.
The same word.
Abandoned.
From Aramaic.
Also, they use the same for the prostitute. They call it Zana Charabeh. The same word for woman.
Because they used to do it, that's where they hung out.
Interesting.
They hung out. Where did the prostitutes hang out?
Right.
In the chordavas, in the rooms. That's where they hung out.
They call them that same word. Yeah. Interesting. It's one of these connections.
But in time of the Gemara, they were all over the chordavas, these shadim.
Wow.
It was a dangerous place.
Did the shadim actually hurt people?
They could if they wanted.
Shade them as prostitutes?
No, devils and demons.
Devils and demons.
They hang in the same place.
Do we have sorry, that Baal Shem Tov was able to get rid of these?
About the Baal Shem Tov. The Gemara banned them from place where people live, and the other Baal Shem Tov was before the Baal Shem Tov. Banished them from the face of the earth.
So
there's no shade them today.
Uh-huh. What about the people always like these people that they hear
no these
their
people
houses.
There was a story that the Shadim took over this woman. Remember that she saw a few years ago?
Oh yeah,
more than a few years ago already. Yeah. She was what do they call them?
Excellent.
No, in English there's a word for it. They're taken over by
She's possessed.
Possessed.
There was a house, Amavel in New York.
No, there was a place that lady that she saw said she was possessed by
right.
And then afterwards they found that everybody was going crazy with her. They found out she made up the whole story.
Wow.
Afterwards.
Yeah, but there's a story from the Chofetz Chaim that's true though.
Now what?
During the time when there was a little girl who was taken over by and there was a witness also, it's written in the book.
No.
There was a little girl who drank the water without a bracha from a stable because they heard a noise in the stable. Drank the water. She became possessed by some kind of demon or some previous neshama or whatever that was no longer around, and they had to call the Chavetz Chaim to exercise the thing out of her. So he sent actually his assistant to do it, but there were witnesses who were able to talk to her, and she was talking out of her armpit. It was crazy stuff, like talking out of her toe.
Wow,
crazy. I don't know, her mouth would open and his voice.
No, but how the Shadim, the Gemara says the Shadim could take any form of a human, anything except the feet, a webbed like a duck.
Right.
The whole story with when Ashmedai, who was the chief of the demons, threw Shlomo Melech out of the throne outside Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. And he took over the throne looking like Shlomo Melech. And Shlomo Melech came back to the city. And they said, no, Shlomo Melech's on the throne. Who are you? You're the imposter. So Shlomo Melech told him how to get it to it. That when he took off his shoes, you see that his feet are webbed like a duck. Mm-hmm. And that's how they knew, and they got rid of him, whatever. The whole story.
How to get rid of him?
Oh, whatever. Shlomo told him how to get rid of him.
He was out for a year.
Shlomo Melech used him to build the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Shamir, which was the worm that you put on that cut straight down. Because
right.
You couldn't use metal, right?
So
Moshe Rabbeinu had the Shamir, which is a little worm.
Right.
You made a mark on a stone.
Right.
And you put the worm on that thing.
Yeah.
And he
cut
the stone straight down. Perfect cut.
Laser.
So in Schleser, that's original laser. So Shlomo Melech needed to build the Beis HaMikdash, he needed the Shamir.
Yeah.
And he found out that Ashmedai knows where it is. So he got Ashmedai, the whole story, the whole story in the Gemara. How Shlomo Melech got Ashmedai captured.
Right.
And it wasn't easy at the... Ashmedai used to fly in and drink up a whole lake, and then so he filled it up with wine. And Ashmedai fell asleep, and then he tied him with a chain that had Yud Kei Vav Kei on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't break the chain. And finally he came to Shlomo Melech, he was angry, and Shlomo Melech calmed him down. And then he told Shlomo Melech how to get the Shamir, where it is, and how to bring it.
So how did he switch it with him?
Whatever, then afterwards he got them. Back at him. Okay, so now the question is, according to this answer, the Gemara says, it's two churvas. One city that the Mishnah used, the Brayse used the word secluded, and one is that the Brayse uses the word churva. So Gemara says, well, I need two. Why do I need both cases? Why do I need a city churva and a field churva? He says, because I ashmin churva the masa, if it would only tell me a churva of a city, she's believed. Why? Because only in a city Rune, as he believed, because most of the people there are Kshedim. Most of the people in a city Rune is city people. Most city people are kosher people. Right? But Aval Chorba de Dabra. But when it's a Chorba of a field, the Reipsul, and that's most people in the fields, most Mamzeim don't hang around town. Most Mamzeim go out of town and they're secluded, right? So over there, I would think, Emma Meidel, Rabbi Yeshua would think, that Rabbi Gamliel would agree to Rabbi Yeshua that she's not believed. So we say, no, she is believed. And then he said, V'yashmin Bayi, if we would only have the case of the field rune. I would think only there come Rabbi Yeshua, maybe over there only Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe her because most people are not kosher people. Abu Bab may be in a city rune where most people are kosher. So I would think Rabbi Yeshua would be made it to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. So we need both cases. Okay? So my bottom line over here is when the Mishnah says Medaberes, again, the argument Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say the woman's always believed, Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed, right? Medaberes, according to the Ze'iri, means secluded. According to Ravasi, it means actually they live together.
But
that's his name. One of the people from the Gemara, Ze'iri.
First time I heard
that. Ze'iri means short. He was probably short. They call him Ze'iri. But that was his name.
Big
Ze'iri. Big. Oh, he's a very great person. But, so, Ravasi says it means that she actually lived with him. The proof that they live together. Ze'iri says, Medaberes means he's secluded. It's a question, when is the argument? Okay, so now, Mesa, I'll ask you a quick question. Zuhi Edis Sheishik Shedala. Okay? This is, the Brisa says like this. We believe a pregnant, unmarried woman to say that she's kosher. Okay? Now, then it says, "Im iata meidim." Rabbi Shua says to Rabbi Gamliel, "Iata meidim b'shui shenishvis." Don't you agree to me that if there are witnesses of a woman that was captured by goyim, v'yesh lo eidim shenishvis, and she has witnesses that she was captured, and she says, "Tehedani, I'm pure." Yeah, do you believe she'ain in the menes that she's not believed? In other words, like this, Rabbi Yeshua says, let me ask you a question. If a woman was captured, now, you have to understand like this, a woman that was captured by Goyim, there's an assumption that they raped her.
Correct.
And it's Goyim. So when she was raped, even though it was rape, she's still ushered to Goyim. Mm-hmm. Because she lived with somebody she wouldn't be allowed to. Now, says Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Gamliel, you guys say the woman's always believed, yeah? I say she's not believed. Now, let me ask you a question, he says. In a case where there's witnesses that she was captured. Yeah, she has witnesses she was captured. But she says, yeah, but they never raped me. They never touched me. Okay. Would you agree to me that she's not believed?
Yes.
They said, hey, yes, we don't, yes. So he says, O'mahafesh ben yeshzu lezu. What's the difference between this case, you're believing the woman, and the case where the woman is captured by Goyim, you don't believe her.
That's a chazak.
Went, oh. So it says, Lezu yeshedim. So the Chacham answered, because the difference is like this. The captive woman is basically testifying that they lived with her. Why? Even though they just know she was captured. If the Goyim captured a woman, they definitely raped her. It's not a doubt. They definitely raped her. Lezu ain't laid them. But in this case, the woman has no edim. There are no witnesses that she was secluded.
Imagine if it was edim.
Huh? I'm sorry. They only saw the seclusion. They didn't see that she lived with the guy. But the word is differentiating like this.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yeshua wanted to compare our Mishnah to a case where a woman was captured. Yeah? And he says, don't you agree to me that she's not believed? He said, 100% we don't know. So we said, why over here do you believe her? So he said, over there there's witnesses that she was captured. If there's witnesses that they're captured, it's not 90%. It's 100% that she was raped. Here there's only witnesses that she was secluded.
Yes.
How do you know she lived with the guy?
Right, you don't.
It's not a guy that's going to rape her.
Right.
You don't know. So he says, Amar lahem, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, what do you mean? Afla ze yeshedim shakrisa ben shenel. It's an expression, her stomach is between her teeth. Meaning, obviously, if she's pregnant, she lived with somebody. Right? So, they answered him back, what are you talking about? The case of a captured by a guy, they're all goyim. Majority are goyim.
Sure.
So they're not believed. But by Jews, you're not going to say, Rave, at least.
Give a benefit of
doubt. But give a benefit of doubt. So he says, no. He answers, Eina petrupas la'arayis. It's a very unique, a very interesting gemara. There's no guarantor against forbidden relations.
What
huh? The gemara is going to talk about what it means. Eina petrupas la'arayis means, even if a guy is holy,
right,
you don't trust him.
Wow.
If he's captured.
No, Bukhlal, being secluded.
Oh,
Yichud. Why is Yichud forbidden? Because he may come to do something wrong?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Okay, does that apply to the biggest tzaddik?
Sure.
Well, you say, no, he's a tzaddik, he's not going to do anything. The Gemara says the din of Yichud applies. Why? I is a tzaddik. Well, you think he's going to rape, live with a married woman? The Gemara says, when it comes to these things, there's no guarantor from nobody.
Wow.
So Rabbi Yeshua says, you can't trust a Jew either. The Gemara, the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer said, you trust her, but if there's witness she was captured, then it's goyim, so they for sure raped him.
depends on the situation.
Yep.
So in the case of a seclusion, she says nothing happened, even though there's, you would believe her.
Not only that, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer hold, even if she says something happened, but it's a kosher guy.
I have a question. What happens if, God forbid, there was a civil war like there used to be, and a Jewish army, you know, kept her captive, caught her?
No, the Gemara says, in the pep talk before a war,
yeah,
the Gemara says this in Saita. Rashi brings it down in Chumash also. When the Kohenim gave a pep talk before war,
yeah,
they said, you should know you're going on your enemies. This is not like Jew against Jew. That when they capture you, they'll feed you, they'll take care of you.
Right.
You're going against enemies, they're going to kill you. They're not, there's no Rachmanis.
Right.
Even when there was civil war amongst the Jews, the Jews still took care of each other.
So that's not a question.
The business of business, pleasure is pleasure.
No, when you say took care of each other, you're talking about they got rid of each other?
No. They fed them and clothed them.
So that's my question. If they captured a Jewish girl, a Jewish army captured a Jewish girl because of a civil war, God forbid.
Yeah.
So the question is that the same law applies.
According to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, she would be believed.
She would be believed?
Yep.
That she's hasn't been
right.
Raped, has not been raped.
Right.
So there is a difference.
Yep.
So non-Jewish captive, or non-Jewish army who kept her captive, she's not believed?
There's an assumption, no.
And if Jewish army captured her, she's believed?
Correct. Not according to Rabbi Shua, according to Rabbi Leaz and Rabbi Gamliel, yeah. Question is, what belief does she have? But the Gemara is going to discuss, I mean, the Gemara is going to ask, okay, then it says like this, b'medvanam amurim b'edis isha begufa. It's only when her own status of being kosher to a kohen. Our edis isha bebita, but as far as the status of the girl, divrei hakol avlat shtuki. Everybody says the kids are shtuki. And this is a very interesting b'raisa. Mamish different. This b'raisa says, the argument between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar, I mean, between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua, is only as far as the status of the woman. Can she marry a kohen or not if she says it was only a kosher guy? As far as the daughter is concerned, she cannot marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, "My ka'amalei or my ka'amadil." What was this discussion going on? Okay, Gemara is just explaining the brayt. So hachi kama. This is what they said. Ishtam ishtavanu. This is what they said to Rabbi Shua. Okay, you answered us with regard to the pregnant woman. Yeah? There's a shal and the kid, if you believe her or not. But what are you talking about But the woman herself. Why shouldn't she be believed on herself? So I said, Amalem, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Medaberes is Shvuya. Secluding is like a captive. Just like a captive, you agree to me she's not believed, right? So then you can't believe her either. So he says, no. Amalem Shani Shvuya, because over there is Goyim. Therefore, she's not believed, right? Because we assume she was raped. So he says, but also, Ena Perutz Larayas. Okay? There's no apatrubis larayas. So again, she shouldn't be believed. Okay? So therefore, she loses the chazaka.
Who is making this accusation? The husband, right?
Right. No.
No.
There might not even be a husband here. There is no husband.
Because if it was the husband,
then it's adultery. Then it's adultery. Then the kids for sure are mamzer.
I mean, that's where the...
It's speaking in unmarried.
I warned her not to... then she won't be believed. She's been warned more than that.
Okay. You know, the question over here is like this. Everybody maintains that if a woman's captured, there's a strong assumption, even though she says it was kosher, we don't believe her. Okay? So she cannot marry a kohen. If she has a kid... That kid cannot marry a kohen. Okay? That's a given. Now, what happens if an unmarried woman gets pregnant? Okay? Now the question is, she says it was from a kosher guy. Therefore, my daughter can marry a kohen. It's from a regular Jew. Right? If a single woman and a single guy, kosher guy, yeah, live together and they have a baby, can that kid marry a kohen? Yeah. Even though they're not married. He's kosher, she's kosher. Okay, there's no chuppah, okay, but the kid's kosher, okay. So now you have over here, this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara. You have a case, the woman's pregnant, yeah, unmarried woman, because if a married woman's pregnant, you got a problem. Worse, a bigger problem than marrying a kohen. Okay, now, she says, yes, obviously I lived with somebody, didn't happen from virgin, who knows what. It happened, but the guy's kosher. Yeah? Rabbi Yeshua says, we cannot believe this lady. Why? Number one, the fact that she secluded herself and she was willing to have relations outside of marriage, she's not particular who she's with. This is what Rabbi Yeshua holds. Such a woman, we can't trust her because she's doing it out of wedlock. Yeah, she's living with a guy. She's not married to him. So how careful is she going to be with whom it is? Right? So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't believe her. We don't believe her. Chum say, we believe her. Because most men are kosher. Yeah? And therefore, we believe that she was with a kosher guy. That's they believe it. Yeah. But what's the question of the Gemara? But it says here, Tarti, Midaberes, Umu'uberes. But the Brisa says two things, Midaberes and Mu'uberes. Now, according to Ravasi, Midaberes and Mu'uberes is the same thing. If she lived with the guy, same thing as being pregnant. Right? So, the Gemara says, Chifta Ravasi, Chifta Staka, refuting of Ravasi. Which is interesting because the Rambam paskens like Ravasi. But anyway. But the Gemara refutes Ravasi. The Gemara refutes Ravasi and they say it can't mean Nistara, cannot, Midaberes cannot mean actual relations because then what do you need? Two cases. Midaberes, if she's pregnant, means she lived with the guy. See, hereby secluded, there's another problem. Not a problem, it's easier. How do you know they were together? It's like a double doubt. If she just secluded with the guy, yeah, there's one doubt, number one, maybe she didn't live with the guy. And secondly, even if she did, maybe he's a kosher guy. Right? It's a double doubt, a sex fake. So it's more reason to believe her. Right? But if you say that Medaberes means she lived with the guy, See, there's only one doubt, kosher, not kosher. So it's a whole different story. Ben Gamliel, in both cases, says, Mubedes, and we believe her anyway. Even if she lived with the guy, you can still believe her.
No, because I'm going to Bar Mitzvah.
According to Ben Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. So now, meanwhile, the Gemara differentiated between, according to Rabbi Gamliel, according to Rabbi Gamliel, there's a difference if she was captured by Goyim where she's not believed, yeah? And if she was secluded with the Jew, she is believed. That's what Rabbi Gamliel holds. So the Gemara asks the question of Yeshua. There should be a difference between a captured woman by Goyim and a Jew. Rabbi Yeshua says to them, if a captive lady is not believed, then this lady is not believed. So Gemara said, but over there, they're Goyim. Here, they're Jews. Right? How can you compare the two?
He said this already, no?
What?
He said this, no?
No, the question, why are they comparing them? So Gemara said, the typically, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, there should still be a difference. Horei psul and etzla. By captives, right? Most of them are not kosher, most of them are goyim. Hacha, Reivka Ksheinim, most people here are kosher. Right? In other words, how can it be sure who compared a case of a pregnant woman, right, stam in the city, to a captured by goyim? Captured by goyim is goyim.
Right.
So they're all puzzle for her.
Right.
But in the city, most people are not mamzedim. Most people are kosher people. So the chances are much better. So why does Rabbi Yeshua compare a pregnant woman to the concept of a captive? So Gemara says, this proves the din to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It says like this, the divri amachshir, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say she's believed, you believe her even by reit psulim, even if majority of them are not kosher. Listen to this. The divri apesul, according to the one Rabbi Yeshua that says it's possible, he believes even when most people are fit for her. In other words, like this, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer hold that the woman's always believed. Why? Why? Because she has a chazaka from birth that she's kosher to kain. Right? There's a strong chazaka that she's kosher to Kohen. You want to undo that chazaka and make her not kosher for a Kohen? It takes a strong power to do it. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamaliel say, if she says it's a kosher guy, you believe her. Hmm. That strengthens her chazaka. Hmm. Right? But if but Rabbi Yeshua holds, no. Even if they're most kosher, we don't believe her. And like we said, if she's the type of woman that could do this, she'll do it with anybody. If she's an unmarried woman that would live with somebody, she'll do it with anybody. So therefore, the question is how far the chazaka goes. How far do you trust?
Well, what about this thing with...
Let me ask you a question. One sec. The girl wants to marry a kohen, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. See, even if you ask the questions, you say, were you with the guy? She says no. Yeah? You believe her?
Yes.
Halach is you believe her. Right?
Why not?
First of all, she could have said I wasn't with anybody.
Right.
But that's...
But then later, we'll find out later.
Okay?
What if two friends come and says, oh, she would live with a guy for like 5 years. And then what happens?
That's a witness.
Then you have a problem.
Yeah.
But what happens if a kohen marries a divorcee?
And later
he finds that he's a kohen.
Oh, wait. So what happens?
That's the divorcer.
He does.
Oh, no.
What happens with the kids?
No, they're not kosher. They're not kohenim, but they're not mamzedim.
They're not kohenim?
Nope.
So he can't. So this guy can't be married anymore.
Huh?
Even though it's a Kohen, but he's married a divorcee.
Right, so the kids are not Kohenim.
Because he married a divorcee, they're not Kohenim?
No, they're Cholol. Mundane from being...
Right, they got it.
The question is...
But they can marry a widow.
They have a mum.
Who? A Kohen? Yeah. Except a Kohen Gadol.
A Kohen can marry a divorcee?
No.
Oh.
A widow, at least.
If he does, there's an avera that...
Yes, to divorce him.
I have a question. If she never told him, ever, in her life, and he had kids, and they were kohanim, and they were duchni, and everything, and Mashiach comes, is Mashiach is going to dafka go out of his way to expose it? Or does it give, do they give him...
No, it says Mashiach, well, a lot of it says, and the Gemara talks about this, that the people that lived as kohanim, Mashiach is going to keep them.
So if I told my kids right now, you're going to be Kohanim, and then we're Kohanim, and they believe...
You're Kohanim?
I'm not. But if I said we're Kohanim, no, and they believed it all their life, then Mashiach comes.
No. It is a question. Why is a woman believed to say, I didn't live with a guy?
The guy doesn't know he's a Kohen.
First of all, you can't necessarily say, because she has a migui to say, I didn't live with the guy. Okay, let's see, we know she lived, she was on campus, they lived with everybody. She dormed with her, or at a, right? But she's believed because she still has a chazaka from birth that she's kosher l'kayin. In order to break the chazaka, you need valid proof.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask those questions.
Rabbi Shur says it's valid enough proof. Ein apotropos ha'ra'is, he says that for sure she did with somebody not kosher. The chachamim say no. She did it, but she did what most people are kosher, and she did it.
Question. So, if a guy doesn't know he's a Kohen, wouldn't he know it by the time he gets, like he's 25 or 30?
How is he supposed to know?
Do you know people like that will find out they're Kohen name?
Yeah, they go to a gravesite usually.
Yeah, but that's also not a proof. I'm dealing now with an issue. A guy thinks he's a Levi. Somebody told him his name sounds like a Levi name. And he's living as a Levi, but he has no proof that he's a Levi.
Because of his last name.
I mean, is that enough of a proof to say you're a Levi?
I didn't know I was a Levi until my father told me. The only reason he told me was because I'm the only religious one in my family. And so we were coming home one day. He says, well, you're a Levi. I said, oh? I said, yeah, because my father told me. My brother told me. That's what he told me. So
no.
I got to go along with it.
God told you a lady. You're a lady.
Maybe you can find this on some gravestones.
Yeah, but that's not halachically. It's not a proof to the either way.
Really? Even with a gravestone? Oh, well.
Because just like you don't know, they didn't know. And they thought, they're going to go back to God.
That's true.
What's a gravestone?
Yeah, well.
And if it doesn't say a coin, it means he's not? I'm asking you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody really knows, I guess.
Yeah, so if they pull Poskim being down that it's... A gravestone itself is not a proof that somebody is a Kohen, necessarily. It's an additional proof, but not, it's not in itself a legitimate proof from gravestones. Because people write, you know, if you look at some gravestones that I've seen, I mean, shoo. I saw in a gravestone, the name Moshe was spelled with a final mem, Shin Aleph.
Weird.
The guy's name was Moshe. Yeah?
The final mem.
They spelled it on the grave, on the tombstone. Mem, but a final mem. Mem Safit. Yeah?
Yeah.
Shin Aleph.
Okay.
Because of Yokel Mem. Mem, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
I know, Poskim, right?
Are you saying it's the contemporary Tshuva is
right. Contemporary Tshuva is right that it's not a proof. That the guy is a Kohen or a Levi from a gravestone, from a tombstone.
So how do people know today?
You know from your father, your grandfather, relatives have told you.
And maybe they're wrong.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Again, we're not eating truma today, and we're not working the Beis Hamikdash today.
Yeah.
By the way, just because a guy gets a Leah Kohen doesn't necessarily mean he can work in the Beis Hamikdash when Mashiach comes.
Sure.
It's not enough of a proof.
Sure.
Okay, what's the word? Give him a Kohen. It's not.
Yeah, but when Mashiach tells people, when Mashiach tells them who are the Kohen and who are not, what do you tell them?
Mashiach is going to. The Gemara speaks about Mamzerim also. People that already part of the Jewish community for many years. They're going to let
my roommate in Morristown.
Yeah.
Was getting an aliyah as a kohen, and then he found out he has a suffer. He was even Jewish, so he had to convert.
Yeah, found out he wasn't Jewish.
He was getting an aliyah as a kohen for a long time.
He was a kohen god.
And then he came suddenly.
He became a kohen god.
Talking to his family members, it was Suffolk. He was even Jewish, born Jewish.
Oh wow!
So then he had to convince. So he's not a Cohen. He's even a Suffolk if he wasn't Jewish.
No, because they have now. You know, they want to say, which is ridiculous. You know, there's a certain DNA that Cohen have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not a proof.
Go with that.
Because I'll give you a simple example. If a Cohen married a Shiksa and had a kid,
yeah.
What's the kid?
A
guy.
Yeah.
Now, he might have his father's DNA. he might have the DNA gene that he's a Kohen, but he's a guy.
Right.
It's not a proof that he's Jewish.
Right.
And I mean, not let alone he's not a Kohen, maybe.
Right. He has a proof that his father's a Kohen.
He has a proof his father was a Kohen. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe he's a Kohen.
So if the rabbi that's officiating for a Kohen asks these specific questions from the girl, who is responsible to ask that question? The rabbi is going to be
doing a lot of times the rabbis ask, sometimes they don't.
Like they would ask if the question if you've ever been with a boy or if you've been with a...
There's an argument in contemporary halacha if you have to ask them or not, clearly, were you with a guy? Because if you don't know, you don't know.
You're not going to ask them,
talk about the normal Jew not Kohen, but with regards to Kohen, it's more important to know that, no?
Yeah,
it's a matter of it being a not okay. So yes or no? It's a matter
correct.
Of if you can even be married or not.
Correct, but they usually don't ask.
Even that,
right? Because if you don't know before, and then they get married, even if you find out later,
right.
Like you said, if the woman says.
Right. But not with regards to
a lot of times, what they do is they'll tell the girl, "Listen, these are the." In order for Kohen to marry you, these are the criteria. Okay. No, they do it, and the girl knows itself if she's kosher or kohen or not. A lot of times a girl will ask, about tshuva will ask you, can I marry a kohen? So I'm not going to ask her, were you with a guy? I said, listen, let me tell you the criteria, and then you'll know yourself if you're kosher or kohen.
Right, so
if you live with a guy, if you're divorced, if you lived with somebody you're not allowed to be married to, like incest or whatever. So then you can't marry a kohen.
Like you mentioned, if you don't say and they're married, then they don't have to divorce. What if...
No, unless if there's proof that she lived with a guy.
And how about if there's a proof that she had a divorce in a different country and nobody knew about it, and she lied?
No, but then you have to know, was there a Jewish get, was it not a Jewish get?
Right. What is this?
One second, I just want to...